What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you. And we're going to continue our tour around the swag with our preseason 12-team previews. Today, we're going to talk to the Grambling State Tigers. And the Tigers had a very, very eventful but unsuccessful spring season. They had one of the worst seasons I've seen Grambling have in my lifetime. So we're going to talk about what Grambling can expect to do in the fall, as they hopefully can turn around their misfortunes and get back to playing Grambling football. But before we do that, let's go ahead and get all the socials and stuff out the way. Facebook.com/SwagTalk, Instagram.com/SwagTalk, SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. You can check out Swag Talk on YouTube. We're also going to have a Grambling episode up today, so you can check that out. Swag Talk Show on YouTube. If you haven't done so already, why don't you go ahead and subscribe. We're over 230 subscribers, so go ahead and subscribe to that channel. And we also have a little bit of a new flavor coming through. I have a little show with my homie DJ called Swag Smoke. That's also on the Swag Talk YouTube channel, so we're two episodes deep on that. And it's a little bit of a different flavor than what I do on my show. So make sure you check that out also on YouTube. So all that out the way, man, we've been busy, man. We've been rocking and rolling. And we're going to continue to do our thing as we get closer to the season. I mean, it's August 1st now. So 27 days away is the MEAC Swag Challenge. And, you know, a little bit more than a month away is the start of the regular everybody else in week one. So, hey, football is here. Most teams report for camp in the next week. All corners already practicing because they get to practice early since they have a week zero game. So football is here, man. I don't care what y'all say. Football is here. This is football season. This is what I've been waiting for, and I am ready. So let's talk about Grambling. We're not going to talk too long about what happened in this spring season, but, you know, we need to do a little bit of a talk about it before we jump into the fall. Grambling was not very good in the spring. Obviously, they went 0-4. A lot of turmoil. Two offensive coordinators left the program. Starting quarterback hit the portal after the season. A couple other guys left in the transfer portal. And the team just never could really find an identity. They had a COVID outbreak that basically shut their season down to the end of the season. They averaged 16.5 points per game on offense. 36 points allowed on defense. They ran for 129.3 yards per game on offense. They allowed 192 rushing yards on defense. Allowed double the amount of touchdowns, 5 for Grambling, 10 for the opponents. They passed for 197 yards per game, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The opponents, 257 yards of passing offense, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Total offense, Grambling 326 yards per game. The opponents 450. 21 total touchdowns for the opponents to 9 for Grambling. Grambling averaged 4.7 yards per play, 6.9 yards per play for the opponents. Grambling averaged 3.2 yards per rush, the opponents 4.6. Third down conversions, Grambling had 35% conversion, 20 of 57. The opponents 56% third downs. You're not going to win very many games allowing over 50% third down conversion, 32 of 57 for the opponents. 2 of 5 on fourth down for Grambling, that's 40%. The opponents also 40%, 2 of 5. Grambling fumbled 8 times, lost 3, giving them a total of 11 turnovers on the season. Excuse me, giving them a total of 6 turnovers on the season. The opponents 4 fumbles, giving them a total of 6 turnovers, so they had an even 0 turnover margin. Grambling had 4 sacks as a defense and allowed 18, so they didn't do a good job at all of protecting the quarterback. They did not do a good job of getting to the quarterback. You know, line play, especially offensive line play, was not good, and that is kind of shown in the numbers. LaDainian Brooks, who has now transferred out of Grambling to Prairie View, was the leading rusher with 30 carries for 167 yards, 5.6 yards per carry. C.J. Russell, 34 carries, 148 yards. Keelon Elder, 39 carries, 132 yards. Jeremy Hickbottom was the leading passer, but he transferred out. He's now at Tennessee State. So that leaves Elijah Walker as the main quarterback, 30 of 52, 57% completion, 332 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. Receiving, Darrell Clark, 17 catches, 156 yards, one touchdown. Kobe Ross, 13 catches, 152 yards, one touchdown. James, 10 catches, 114 yards. Defensively, Matthews leads the team with 30 tackles. Keenan Fontenot, 26. Dunn, 25. Powell, 21. Mitchell, 20. Tackles for loss, Powell, 4.5. Matthews, 2.5. Richardson and Reed, Williams and Lewis, each had 2 tackles for loss apiece. Grambling had 24 tackles for loss as a defense. The opponents had 35. Powell led the team with 1.5 sacks, along with Lewis, also 1.5 sacks. Interceptions, Fontenot and Estes each had 1. And, you know, Grambling typically has a really good defense, especially when it comes to making turnovers, but they just couldn't really get it done this year. Field goals, they were 1 for 1 on the season, and that one was from 46 yards. The opponents were 1 of 2 on field goals for the season. That long was 36. The return game, Grambling didn't do very much. Martin, 5 returns on punts for 62 yards, 12.4 yards per return. They did allow a punt return touchdown as a special team unit. Russell, leading return man on kickoff, 6 returns, 86 yards, 14.3 yards per return. The longest return on the season was 28 yards. So not much, you know, not much there for them as far as getting extra yardage on special teams. This season, like I said, you don't want to dwell too much on the spring, but they had a couple, you know, they lost 2 games by a total of 12 points. Jackson State beat them by 5, 33-28. Prairie View beat them by 7, 17-10. And then the wheels fell off against Pine Bluff. They lost 48-21. And they closed out their season 49-7 in the Bayou Classic against Southern. So, you know, coming out of a 0-4 season, they got a lot of love from the media and the SIDs, coaches and everybody who votes in the preseason polls. Grambling was picked 3rd, so a lot of people feel like Grambling is really going to turn things around. They did bring in Eric Marty, who is a junior college coach. They brought him in as offensive coordinator. Brian Ross was brought in as the offensive line coach. So those two things are something that they're looking to improve. Obviously, offensive line play was not good, and the offense as a whole was not good. So they actually lost both their coordinators. The defensive coordinator also left. So they brought in Eric Rhodes. He's back, and he's going to handle the defensive backs. Grambling is going to have to play. You know, they're going to have to do what they got to do. Elijah Walker is a guy I'm looking for to be a bigger factor on this team. You know, he was thrown into the fire early in the season. Well, basically mid-season. And He held himself. I thought he held himself fairly well. I mean, he didn't have great numbers in either of the games that he played, but he shows potential. He was the starting quarterback at A-Meet when I'm forgetting the guy that's the dude name, but he was starting quarterback at A-Meet when the Heisman Trophy winning receiver from Alabama was there. For whatever reason, I'm blanking on his name, but they also brought in a 4-star quarterback from New York, Noah Biden, and he's getting a lot of attention and hype. So maybe he can come in as a young freshman and really establish himself and make this a race for the quarterback job. We're going to see when camp opens. Like I said, I like C.J. Russell and I like Keelon Elder as their running backs. Those are two guys who I think really making some big plays. They're both really explosive guys when they get the opportunity. But the passing game is definitely going to be what has to help this team go. And they have some receivers that are able to make some plays. They have Donald Johnson. he's a guy who who's gonna be able to make some plays. Clark as well. Breton, another receiver. So Foley and you know, they're gonna miss a guy like Brooks because he did a little bit of everything. He was like a running back and a receiver. But Darrell Clark is back. Obviously, he was the leading receiver on the team. Defense, Treylon Dunn and Lewis Matthews and Keenan Fontenot helped lead the team. Fontenot was the only Grambling Tiger on the preseason All-SWAC second team. And this, you know, this is a guy, you know, this is a defense that's going to have to step up and make some plays because they just weren't able to really do that. And some people feel like Coach Fobbs is on the hot seat, and I'm not 100% sold on that fact yet, but you know, obviously you cannot have a bad season coming off of an 0-4 season, so things are going to have to change for Grambling. But I'm expecting Grambling to turn it around. I don't know about third place, but I think the difference between third and fifth is not that huge. So, you know, if you pick Grambling fifth, they could finish third, you know, with a couple wins here and there. I don't think it's going to be anything that is going to take some outrageous numbers to do. But looking at their schedule for the fall, they open up this season with a very interesting game that hasn't been talked about at all. The same day as Jackson State and Florida A&M, Grambling plays Tennessee State in Canton, Ohio in the Black College Hall of Fame game. This game has had nobody's talking about this game at all. Eddie George is at Tennessee State, and Tennessee State is not really getting any attention like, you know, like Jackson State is receiving. So this game is kind of under the radar. I think this is a big game for Grambling. I mean, it's a big game for both teams because, you know, Eddie George is coming in. He's a big name guy. You know, they need to win these kind of games to prove that this, you know, that this was the right move to make. Although it's too early, the first year to me is not important to prove that kind of stuff. It's important to improve the chemistry of your team and change the culture. But this is a big game for Grambling. I think this is a game that they need to win. I think they can win this game. I mean, a lot of people think Grambling is like super trash because they had a bad spring, but I think, you know, this team back is against the wall. They know the expectations at Grambling. They know what it means to be a Grambling football team and what kind of weight that carries. And I think they can beat Tennessee State because we don't really know what Eddie George is going to do as a coach. We don't know how his coaching staff is going to mesh. So I'm going to pick Grambling to win this game. I think it's not going to be a pretty game. I think Grambling will find a way to win it because, like I said, we just don't really know what Tennessee State has either. So I'm going to go with Grambling in that one. They go to Southern Miss on September 11th. They'll take an L there. Not too much to dwell on that one. And also September 18th against the University of Houston. I'm not a fan of the two FBS games, even though they're G5 opponents. I'm just not a fan of those two games, especially back-to-back like that. You know, when you need momentum as a team, you know, if you was a more experienced, successful team, yes, you could play these two games. You probably still take two L's, but I don't think it would hurt you as much. You know, for a team that's looking to build an identity and bounce back from the bad spring that they had, I would have loved to have some more momentum early, but they don't have it, so they'll come out of those two games with L's. And then they hop directly into the State Fair Classic on September 25th. Prairie View's won, I think, the last three games in this series. And they play really well against Grambling. All three games have been different. A couple have been defensive games. You know, then there's been some offensive explosive type games. But I don't really, you know, these are two teams who are kind of, I don't want to say trending in different directions, but they're kind of different but the same. I think Prairie View's defense being better is going to help them in this game. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game by any means. I don't think Prairie View's offense will be where it needs to be at this point. And I don't think Grambling as a team will be where they need to be, even though I'm predicting them to beat Tennessee State in the opening week. I think Prairie View wins this game because I like their defense a lot more than Grambling. And I'm more confident in what Prairie View brings to the table at this portion of the season. So that game is obviously in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. the next week, Grambling comes home for High School Day and Pro Football Hall of Fame Day against Alabama A&M. This is their home opener, October 2nd. Grambling typically, in most years, they typically match up well with Alabama A&M, but obviously A&M's offense is on another level right now. Defensively, we don't know how good they'll be, but we think they're going to improve. And I don't think that defense needs to be the 85 Bears to get this team over the top. I think A&M's defense just needs to be good enough to get a few stops, maybe shave a few yards off of their rushing totals, and, you know, a couple of more interceptions or something like that to keep them in games, because I don't think too many people are going to slow down their offense, and I don't think Grambling's going to be able to slow down this offense, and I don't see Grambling having enough firepower to get into a shootout. So I think A&M wins that game. October 9th, they go to Alcorn. Again, another tough matchup. I do not like this early portion of Grambling's schedule. It's very tough, especially in the SWAC. You got two of the top teams in the conference in back-to-back weeks. I think it's homecoming at Alcorn that week, and that's going to be another tough thing to navigate. Grambling does have success against Alcorn, but I don't think that this Grambling team can beat Alcorn. Like I said, a lot of what happens with Grambling is going to have to have a lot of improvement on their lines. If their lines don't play better, then they're going to get victimized by a lot of teams that they play. Just looking at things from the sky level, it's hard to pick them to beat any top teams right now. So I'm going to go with Alcorn. Grambling comes home on October 16th for their homecoming as they take on Texas Southern. Texas Southern typically can play close against Grambling, but I think Grambling will find a way to win this game. I think Texas Southern will win at least one game this year, not counting that North American game. I'm thinking they're going to win at least one SWAC game this year, but I don't see them winning on the road right now. I have to really take a good look at their schedule to see. This is a possible win for them, but right now I'm going with Grambling because I think Grambling at least has a better program, and they have a little bit more talent, and I think they're going to, by this portion of the season, start to kind of find themselves. So I think they'll beat Texas Southern. They get a week off on October 23rd. October 30th, they go to Florida A&M for their homecoming. So this is like a stretch of three homecomings in a row, their own and two others. Tough game. FAMU is going to probably be rolling at this point in the season. I don't like this matchup, especially for Grambling's defense. FAMU's offense is going to probably be explosive. Probably won't be 2019 explosive, but they may be a bit more balanced with a better running attack, which can help the quarterback, whoever he is. Defensively, FAMU is very aggressive on defense, and they have some big play guys on defense, and they hungry to prove a point. And it's tough to win in Bragg. You know, it really is, and I don't see Grambling winning this game. It's going to be hard to come out of there with a W, so I think they're going to lose that game. On November 6th, they go to Pine Bluff. Again, like I said, there's no easy games on this schedule. It's hard to really pick anything like right out the gate, and I could point to and say, well, that's definitely a W. This is a winnable game for Grambling. Pine Bluff was picked fifth at Media Day, but I think they're going to finish higher. But this is a game I think Grambling can win. I'm not sure they will win it. Like I said, a lot of it depends on how Grambling is doing on the lines. If their line play is better, then I think that they can finish in that spot. But my prediction for Grambling is fifth place, so I'm gonna pick them to lose this game right now. Just a tough matchup for them. It's hard to really point to it and say they'll win it. Bethune-Cookman comes to town on November 11th. This game is a toss-up type of game again. I can see Grambling winning this game if they can. Like I said, a lot of my prediction is all ifs, and I think I'm gonna go with Grambling to win this game just because I think that they need to close out in some form or fashion with some success. They have a couple games on the schedule that I like them to at least be in, but they didn't get any favors for their schedule. So they get the typical bye week, and then they go to New Orleans to take on Southern in the Bayou Classic. I don't think this is going to be a 49-7 type of game, but I don't think they're going to beat Southern. I think it's going to be a game that's a whole lot closer than it probably should be, because typically these two teams, they play close games. There's blowout sprinkled in, every now and then. I think 2016, Grambling beat the brakes off of Southern, and obviously Southern beat Grambling really bad in 2021 in the sprinting. Southern had a couple other really big margin of victories, but typically this matchup is, not that big of a difference in point total. So I think Southern will win, but I think Grambling is going to come out and fight hard. And by this point, I think Grambling will be a much better team than what they started. I don't think their record is going to indicate that. And that's one of the things about this schedule, is that they can be a much better team and not win very many games, because they don't have a lot of games that I look at the schedule that I can say is a for sure win. If I had to say a for sure win, I would pick Texas Southern, and even I'm not even 100% positive on that. Most of the games, I think they have about four or five games on their schedule that are toss-up games. Obviously, anything can happen in a game, but games that I definitely see as losses, I think they have six of those. That's the two FBS games, and then they don't get any favors from the crossover. They get two of the top three East Division teams, and then obviously everybody in the West. So this schedule is not conducive to them really getting on top. If they can win these games, then Grambling will be a contender in the division. But right now, my prediction right now is 3-8. And that, obviously that doesn't look very good. I don't know, if that's going to be a death knell for Coach Fobbs' job at Grambling, but I don't really see a lot of success for the schedule, man. They didn't get a lot of breaks. The non-conference didn't do them any favors. Tennessee State is not a guaranteed win. Texas Southern is not a guaranteed win. Bethune-Cookman, obviously not a guaranteed win. Pine Bluff is a game that they can win but may not win. My best case scenario would be if they stole another one of those games and finish, if they stole a couple of those toss-up games and finish 5-6. I don't think they finished better than that. I could be talked into 4-7, but that's with a lot of, wiggle room and changing some things. Worst case scenario, I think they go, worst case scenario, I'm going to say 2-9. Because I just think they're going to win a game, at least one game in conference. That Tennessee State game is going to go a long way in how their season turns out. It's rare that your first game of the season is going to dictate your whole season, but with the stretch that they have coming off of that game, with two FBS games, playing a Prairie View team that they haven't beat in a while, and then Alabama A&M and Alcorn, those first six games, none of them are easy. Tennessee State is probably, I won't even say easy, but Tennessee State is probably the most manageable game out of the six, because we don't even know what they have right now. Like I said, Prairie View has had success against Grambling, so they have something to work with as a blueprint. The other teams are just, I think, better than Grambling at this point, so not an easy schedule. This is one of those schedules where in a lot of years, a couple of these games, obviously a couple, even if you go back to 2019, that FAMU and Bethune games, they wouldn't even be on the schedule. They could be replaced with some other non-conference affair, but that's where you stand right now. So, like I said, my prediction right now is 3-8. I could be talked into 4-7. 5-6, I think, is going to take some work. Anything more than that is going to be due to some upsets. And I think they finish in fifth place in the division, and they will be a dangerous team. I don't think they're going to get blown out very often this year, but I just don't see them getting very many wins during the season. So, not a good glowing outlook. But you know, it's something to build on. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if the coach will be back after a season like that, but, you know, obviously if you go 0-4, 3-8 is an improvement. So I think there's positives on the roster for Grambling. I think there's talent on the roster. I just don't know if they're ready for the schedule that they have. So that's why I made the picks the way I did. So with that being said, we're going to sign out. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. We have our other Grambling preview on there. It's a little bit shorter. It more focuses on the schedule than anything. So if you want to check that out, feel free to check that out. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. And with that being said, I'm your boy C. Wells, and I am out.